This podcast is brought to you in part by ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. Whether you're buying or selling a home, condo, or any type of property, trust Amanda to help match you with up to three top agents in your area. ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. Hey, all you rock stars from Washington, D.C. This is the Rock on the Money podcast, episode 157. It's time to talk about your saving, investing, and protecting all of your hard-earned monies. We're here to coach you along that path to retirement and financial independence. I'm Greg, your certified master financial coach, along with Amanda. She is a corporate in-house lawyer and real estate referral agent, and we're grateful you've joined us. Check us out at Facebook, facebook.com/rockonthemoney, and the website at rockonthemoney.com. Hey, Amanda.
Hey, Craig. You know what? I kind of like when you flub up the intro because you have... You have this radio voice and everyone thinks you're Mr. Radio. And so when you mess it up, it's like, oh, yeah, it is a human.
And this is after I've been streaming for the last 4 hours on us. We record these on Saturdays, guys. And so my voice is I've been yelling on Facebook gaming for the last 4 hours. Poor Amanda. I don't know how you tolerate this.
I barely. Well, yeah. I went and worked out this morning instead. So
I feel like such a slacker. Hey, I wanted to touch on something real quick. You brought this up before. I've heard this story many times. It was in the news this past week. It's in Ontario, Canada, but still affects people in the States or pretty much anywhere. So I'm going to hit this real quick, get your opinion on it. I'll just go over the news story briefly. There's a guy up in Ontario, Canada. Manny, he bought a Ram 1500 pickup truck. Nice pickup. Okay.
Yeah.
2018. And it came with a warranty. You know what, those 5-year, what?
Oh, yeah, so it's probably like a certified used or something.
Yeah, or even brand new. It could have been brand new. Okay. With one of those powertrain warranties, blah, blah, you know, all that stuff. Anyway, here's what happened. He faithfully went to the dealership, did the oil changes when it says, blah, blah, blah. But there was one time, Amanda, he did not go there. He went somewhere else for the oil change.
Oh, boy.
He went one time. So that would be like me going to Jiffy Lube or one time. Okay. So at 90,000 miles.
So avoided his
warranty. Well, he hit the 90,000 mark. And guess what happened? The engine seized up.
Completely
just locked up. No reason. Just locked up. He didn't skip an oil change. He just went somewhere else for one of them. He went to a dealership and guess what? No warranty. He has to pay for a completely brand new engine out of his pocket.
Yikes.
Because he missed the one oil change at that dealership. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, well, so if it came with the warranty, then I don't feel as bad about it. But I you know, I've always been against buying extended warranties. You know, they try and say, oh, your manufacturer warranty is wearing out. You should really buy this extended warranty so that you're covered. And we've always said, no, you're better off putting money aside so that when something catastrophic happens, you cover it yourself. Because the odds of it happening are actually pretty low. But in this case, it sounds like it came with a warranty and he just didn't follow the rules.
So. It came, okay, because it's Canadian, I goofed that, you know, metric and all. Because we're one of the three countries in the entire planet that is not metric.
Right.
Which I don't get. I'm not going to get that conversation. But it was actually at 56,000 miles, 91,000 kilometers.
Oh, okay.
So in Canada, they have a 100,000 kilometer warranty.
Gotcha.
And it seized up at 91,000 kilometers right before the end of the warranty.
Right.
It seized up on a highway at 56,000 miles.
Yikes.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the thing with all warranties is there's always fine print and hardly anyone reads the fine print.
You say you even go to the jewelry. You said that in the last podcast. You even go to Zales or wherever it was.
Yep.
You still go there, but you don't fall for the tactic.
No, because that's the rule of the warranty. If I want a lifetime warranty, I have to play by their rules and bring it in every 6 months for a quote unquote inspection and cleaning.
Now, let's talk about the reality.
Where they just throw it in a jewelry cleaner and turn it on for a minute, and which I do at home anyway.
But what is the real reason? I mean, yeah, they are protecting it, but why do they do that, Amanda?
It's, It's to get you back in their store on a regular basis and tempt you to buy something else. Just like if you have your service done at a dealership, you go in there and while you're sitting for your service, you're looking at all the newest models of the cars and trucks and they're hoping you upgrade.
Where do you sit at the dealership? Right there, like in the showroom where you can see those shiny.
Of course.
Yeah. And
or if you have a warranty and that, you know, it's going to take a little while, they're like, oh, well, we'll give you a loaner car. And it's, you know, this year's model, brand new.
It's all psychological, like, but
so I mean, that's put you why. In it. You're sitting in it. And you're like, ooh, this is nice. Right.
And that the actual cost.
My car is garbage.
Right. The actual cost of that oil change is not that much. But what they get in return from that is thousands of dollars because it may not happen to you, but they get enough people that, oh, it's a big deal.
Yeah. Anyway. So let's see. What else do we have on this episode? We have four questions from our social media.
Question number one. Excuse my ignorance. I'm new to all this. My question is, what is the advantage or benefit of a brokerage account for investing over something like Robinhood?
Well, Robinhood is a brokerage account.
Yeah, it is. And it's an app. It's just a different one than the big boys.
Yeah, it's just a different broker. So, I mean, Charles Schwab has an app. And you can do the exact same things on Schwab that you can on Robinhood. Robinhood is just the latest trend on something cool and hip for youngsters to trade easily, but it's a brokerage.
Here's why I wanted to touch on this one. Robinhood just reported in the last week their earnings from during a pandemic when people were using Robinhood, right? And they were using it. A lot of people say that people are doing like to replace like sports betting and that sort of thing. Robinhood had horrible earnings during one of the best periods for stock trading firms and their stock plummeted. And so a lot of these people that are cover the, you know, stocks of Robinhood and other firms are like, if you can't perform during that period, plus they were late to coming out with apologies about how they did certain things.
Right.
Like, you know, they kept people from doing trades. Like they got into a stock, they weren't allowed to get out of it.
Yep.
Look, my personal opinion, you do, as we say, our t-shirt that we're going to sell. You do you, but I wouldn't. I personally, the Robinhood thing, even if I wasn't now, I'd probably think about getting out of it because it doesn't look like it's doing very well from what I heard in the last week. I have all my stuff at Schwab.
And yeah, I can
do it all one place.
The reason it really took off is that you were able to trade simply on an app and it made it seem fun and like they gamified it. And there's no trading fees.
Right.
People like to do things that are, you know, quote unquote free.
Right. And but
they don't even have a web app, right? It's just a mobile app.
You gotta do it on the mobile app, yeah.
I mean there's other ones, like we looked at Webull before.
Yeah, Webull's another one like that. And they have a lot more information on there that you can research. So I use them a lot for looking at things.
Yeah,
on my they've got tablet.
Great analytics.
So it's
I mean everyone's competing for your business, so free trades aren't as, you know,
anyway.
Out of the ordinary that they used to be.
But going back to the question, the benefit of using a major, let's say a big boy major account like a Schwab or E-Trade or something like that is you can also keep all of your stuff there. They also do banking. You can do your IRAs there. You can do everything in one place. And that way it keeps it all nice and tidy. I think the apps, Amanda, like Robinhood and Webull made the big boys get better at making their apps.
I think that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. So now the big boy, or you know what? Schwab bought out another company and used their technology, TD Ameritrade. So they're planning on using a lot of their Thinkorswim and stuff inside Schwab. Question number two, a question for you smart people. I think they're talking about you, Amanda. So I'm deciding whether or not to invest in my 401k or just save money and put it toward down payment on investment property. This is right up your alley. Okay. Is there a way to take money out of my 401k before retirement and not get penalized for it and invest into other things? Or would it be a different retirement account be good for something like that, possibly a Roth IRA? Basically want to take money out of retirement accounts and put it into other things.
And put it into other retirement.
Another retirement account or buy investment properties by taking money out of their 401k.
Yeah. So a couple of things. So we've talked about this before. You can always roll your traditional 401k into a Roth. Sometimes some plans even allow you to do that within the 401k plan. Not all of them, but you can definitely do that with an IRA. But just keep in mind, whatever you roll over, you have to pay immediate income tax on.
Right.
And it gets added to your ordinary income. So it really can bump you into a different tax bracket. In terms of taking money out of a retirement to invest in property, I mean, I wouldn't do it. This goes back to our t-shirt, right?
Yeah, you do you, but we wouldn't.
No. I mean, goal is max out your retirement investing in your traditional types of retirement plans. And then if you want to go above and beyond that for investments, then certainly I don't have anything against investing in real estate property after that.
There's so many different ways to do money. I mean, people have systems and all this stuff. But if you Google this one question, it's pretty much consistent. Invest in your 401k, IRA, and then everything else. Those things have to be maxed out first, and we don't touch our 401ks. We leave them alone. That's your foundation for your retirement. Leave it alone. That we've been hammering that through the whole entire pandemic because people want to take money out of 401k. Remember when you were allowed to take money out? Remember that? Penalty-free? Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, don't do that. Eventually, you're going to need that money. Time is what helps you retire, not just having the money in there. Like Amanda said, do 401k and the IRA.
Yeah.
Do them both.
There's a certain cap on 401ks and then you have an additional cap on IRAs. So you really could, increase your investment options there.
You would be killing it if you could do both of those. Yeah.
My husband does both.
And debt free. All right. Let's take a quick break. Wow. We got two great questions come up. You're listening to Rockin' Money.
Stars, Amanda here with ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. Are you about to sell your home or excited to buy your first or next home? I'll be honored to help you find an expert to work with you in your local area. At ChoiceRealtyConnect.com, I'll help match you with up to 3 qualified licensed agents that specialize in your specific market. Choice Realty Connect serves every zip code in all 50 states with a network of 15,000 top-rated agents that are ranked within the top 5% for sales. Whether you're selling or looking for a condo, new construction, retreat, vacation property, or you're a first-time home buyer, let me connect you with the perfect top agent today. ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. The choice is yours.
Amanda Braun is a Florida licensed real estate with a brokerage, Realty Connect.
Rockland, USA.
Welcome back to Rock on the Money. Amanda is here. Hi.
Hi.
I'm Craig. Check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/rockinthemoney. You can also, if you go to the app on Facebook and go to our page, the option to subscribe for your podcast is right there on your Facebook now. It was really cool. And Amanda, I noticed as soon as I posted, it's like on there within like an hour. I mean, I don't know how quick. It's amazing how quick they pick it up, the feed from the website. I mean, it's amazing. I don't know why you can't listen to it on the desktop, though. That's amazing to me, but maybe in the future. It's a brand new feature. We're getting a lot of listeners now. I think that Facebook thing really catapulted us a little higher, so that was cool.
What's a lot? Like 40?
Yeah, 42. We've quadrupled since the 10 listeners we had last year.
No, for real. How many?
No, we thousands. Thousands. Really? We're up to like 10,000 per episode.
Are you serious?
Oh, yeah, I'm serious. I'm dead serious. I am flipping serious. That doesn't sound like a lot, guys, in the podcast world.
I can't believe people want to hear me talk that much.
They're here to listen to you. You're not here to listen to me.
You've got the radio voice. I'm usually the one.
Look, yeah. I'm dragging the gamers over here to listen to. A lot of them are starting to ask questions from my gaming stream. So I try to like, look, guys, you're scaring the other listeners, the viewers of my video games. They don't want to hear anything about money. So.
Yeah,
go over there and do it. Which is another reason why I need to start streaming regularly on that page as well, on the Rock on the Money page.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, question number 3. I have been seeing posts in several groups about having 2 years worth of expenses in cash. What are your thoughts on this?
Well, I think that seems excessive.
What I should have done is pulled
up. I'm wondering what groups these are in. Like, what kind of groups are you in? Like, doomsday preppers or what?
Oh, no, there's tons of these money groups on Facebook. And everybody, and then, of course, they post their systems and all this crazy nonsense on there. And then about a third of the people commenting on the on this whole topic are saying the 3 to 6 months. We'll get into that in a second. But a lot of people are like, yeah, 2 years is good. It's a good thing I had my 2 years of expenses during the pandemic. So, no, I'm completely against this, personally. This doesn't even fit with what we do. Some people are saying you're supposed to have 2 years worth of cash when you're retired for emergencies. I'm like, where are they getting this information from? Apparently, it's a common thing posted out there, Amanda.
That's news to me. I mean, it seems silly because even what you have that's not in cash, it's not as if you can't access it if something catastrophic happens.
Right, right. You can, when you're retired, let's look at the retirees. You can pull out as much money as you want if somehow you, let's say you get cancer treatments and you have to pay a lot of money for that. You can get that money as long as the laws and all that, blah, blah. There are hardship ways to do it. We don't want to get into that. You can get to it when you're retired. Now, if you're younger, not retired,
you can still get to it.
You can get to it. You can get to your money.
You might have to pay some fees or penalties or whatever, but it's not as if it's not accessible at all.
Right.
2 years does seem excessive to me.
What we teach here, guys, is 3 to 6 months of your expenses, not income, expenses, which requires you to sit down and make a little spreadsheet. What does it actually cost for me to live? Like, how much do I spend on groceries? We're not talking about going out to restaurants. That would be out. If you really are tapping in your emergency fund, you shouldn't be going to restaurants. How much is my mortgage? How much is my car insurance? And you list out and see what it is per month. That times 6 is your max.
Yeah.
3 to 6 months. If you're in a job that's not as stable, 6 months, you want to stick with that. If you're in a more stable job, like I came from the fire department.
Or like my husband who's in the
military.
Army.
Right. Those, unless you're really, you do something really, 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 I mean, Amanda, you know, you have to do something really stupid, get kicked out of the military, right? I mean, you got to be, I mean, fire department, same way. So 3 months is good, 3 to 6 months. But if you're in a job like IT or some job where, you know, that company could just go out. I mean, yeah, you have to have some buffer in there. So 3, 6, you know, but if I have 2 years, Amanda, 18 more months than I need in cash, that means that 18 months of money is not working for me.
Yeah, it's not making any money for you.
So I'm delaying my retirement greatly over years because our money will double every 8 to 10 years. If you do what we tell you to do, historically based, your money should be doubling. Your investment total should double.
There you go. You got it.
Your investment total should double every 8 to 10 years. It's historical fact over decades of the S&P 500 index.
Here's where we put in the disclaimer.
Right.
Yeah. Past performance should. Is not an indicator of future performance.
Yeah. I mean, we can't control what's going on overseas and everything, but historically, proven fact, the S&P 500 index has doubled every 8 to 10 years.
Yeah. Yeah.
So your balance should do that.
And I feel pretty comfortable putting my eggs in that basket.
Hell yeah. That's 500 of America's best companies. They don't put the bankrupt ones in there. They only put the best.
They kick them out. Yeah.
They revote and they recategorize it. But having 18 months worth of money not working for me, you do you, but we wouldn't.
Yeah. So that's the theme of today's episode. Yes. So they do give the range of 3 to 6 months. And as Craig mentioned, it's so that you can determine what's your level of risk tolerance. If I'm really risk averse, I might go for the 6 month range because I want to feel more safe and comforted that I can handle anything that happens. If I have a little bit more risk tolerance and I'm like, you know what, the likelihood of something happening is pretty low. And if it does, I have other plans that I could whip together, then 3 months might be fine for you. If you have family that you're supporting and more people that you're supporting, or you have like a special needs person in your family, you might be less risk tolerant and go more for the 6 months. So, I mean, you do tailor it to your own personal circumstances and, you know, tolerance for risk, but 3 to 6 months is generally, you can find the right amount in that space.
And just to reiterate, this emergency fund, which is what we're really talking about here, we don't do that until we've paid off all of our debt except for the mortgage. So baby, we do the baby steps that Dave Ramsey does. I'm a financial coach under Dave Ramsey.
Yeah, so. I mean, I think what we've made slight tweaks to that in the pandemic, though, Craig. Like,
yes, we
if
have.
You are in a job that is a little bit more risky, then you may want to, you know, also put some money in your emergency fund there, just so that you're not stuck holding a bag. Right. But definitely the worst thing that can happen is you lose your job, you have no emergency fund, and you're stuck saddled with a bunch of debt. I mean, that's a absolutely worst case scenario.
That'd be horrible. It's happened to a lot of people though.
Yeah.
Question number four. What platform do you guys use for purchasing index funds?
Oh, okay. So this kind of goes back to our question one. So platform is another word for brokerage, really.
Yeah.
So I'm using Schwab, and that's exclusively what I use. I mean, I have my retirement account with my employers at Fidelity, but otherwise everything else I have is at Schwab.
Yeah, same here. I just use Schwab. The only reason one of the reasons I picked Schwab, we like Fidelity, Schwab, and Vanguard, because they are considered the low-cost providers that have all the services that you need. There's no reason to overpay for this, guys. And I like Schwab. Schwab was the brokerage that was tied to my 401k and my 457 workplace retirement account. So you could actually go over there and buy index funds that way using your 401k or your 457. And I just kept them because I was happy with it. It was low cost and it wasn't charging me anything. So I'm like, heck yeah.
It was part of my plan. Just to be clear, you and I don't get any kickbacks or referral money or any incentive to recommend these three brokers.
I can promise everybody listening, we lose money doing this podcast because we have zero sponsors. So no, we are not incentivized whatsoever to tell you go to Schwab, Fidelity, or Vanguard. I would do that way before I go to any financial advisor. And they also have low cost advising services if you want that. Much lower than if you go to these other companies.
Sounds there like we need to get a sponsor.
We do. Why isn't Schwab paying for this podcast? Well, we just promoted the crap out of them, but we do need to work.
Why
on
would
that.
They? We promote them for free.
Well, now, I mean, here's the thing about sponsorships, guys, on podcasts. If we promoted certain companies, financial institutions, they can actually keep us from saying certain things. And by us being this way, we can, number one, not make any money. Number two.
That's cool.
But number two is we can say things and be open and honest without any liability or obligation to anybody out there. But we do want sponsors. It's nice when we have the coffee sponsors and stuff like that, because we can say whatever we want about coffee. It don't matter. But when you start getting to financial things, you know, things, it depends on the institution. As long as they allow you to be open and honest and we disclose it. So
yeah, that coffee was good.
We had a coffee sponsor from Fiverr that we did an ad for them. I said they were going to pay me in coffee. I'm like, yeah, send out to Amanda's husband. And he liked it, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah. Some place in North Carolina. It was anyway. That was a good episode. We appreciate all of you guys who have been listening. Check us out on Facebook, Facebook.com.
Yeah, tell your friends. We could use a few more thousands.
Yeah, share it on Facebook now, because you can go to our Facebook page and share the podcast out, especially from your phone. You can share each episode now to all your friends. Please, please like, follow, share our podcast, individual podcast, right on your Facebook app. We'd really, really appreciate it, because that really does just catapult this podcast out there.
So that maybe someday we can not lose money on it.
There you go. All right. Thanks, Amanda. You can find Amanda on Instagram and Twitter at Agile Amanda. And you can find me on all of your favorite social media platforms at Rockland USA. Don't forget, check out the website and subscribe to the podcast. All the links are right there on the front page, rockonthemoney.com. Please subscribe and leave comments to our podcast on Apple, Google, Spotify, or even your favorite app that you got right there on your phone. Those help us out a lot. If you're ever looking for a specific topic or content that we've produced over time, just go to the website and in the search bar, just type in your topic, be it 401k, stimulus check, or anything, and everything comes right up for you. We have so much gratitude that you've taken the time out of your day to listen to our podcast while you're walking, driving, traveling, or whatever you're doing. Please send us an email. Let us know how you're doing out there. podcast@rocklandusa.com. So long, everybody. Thank you very much again. We'll see you again next time. All opinions expressed by the host are solely their own and do not reflect the views of any company, affiliates, or advertisers. Investments or strategies mentioned in the show may not be suitable for you. Before acting on any information in the show, you should consider whether it is suitable for your particular circumstances and strongly consider seeking advice from your own financial or investment advisor.